This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. Thanks for joining me this Wednesday. Before we get to our shows this week, I'll remind everyone that you can find more from Case Closed, the past episodes, more from the series you heard today, and everything else, Relic Radio, at the website, relicradio.com. And while you're there, you can consider a donation if you're able to help out. Click on the donate link or visit donate.relicradio.com. Your support is what keeps this show coming every week. Thanks to those who have helped out. Now, today, we'll begin with Nightbeat and their episode from October 6th, 1950, titled The Kenny Day Amnesia Case. After that, it's Unit 99 and their episode titled Attempted Suicide from November 1st, 1957.
Hi, this is Randy Stone. I cover the night beat for the Chicago Star. Stories start in many different ways. This one began with the pursuit of a dream and ended with the death of a nightmare.
Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone.
It was one of those quiet, dull nights with the fog rolling in from Lake Michigan and nothing apparently happening anywhere. I cruised the city from the Gold Coast to the river, haunted Ricardo's bar for a while, and later prowled the tougher sections of town. Nothing at all. By the time I landed at Queenie's Bebop Club over on the south side, I was getting dark circles under my disposition. My train of thought was a string of empties going nowhere. Queenie's place is a tired little bistro with bad food and a hungry floor show. Queenie herself looks like the poor man's Lillian Russell, and sometimes she joins the show to give out with a song. I suppose it's the only way she could get a booking, by owning the joint. Maybe she had a voice once. I can't remember that far back. However, she has a good memory with a tongue hanging square in the middle of it, which makes her good for a story now and then. When she saw me, she ambled over to my table.
Hi, Randy. Long time no see.
Hello, Queenie. Sit down, rest your bustle.
Don't mind if I do. How's the newspaper business these days?
Tonight's as dull as it ever gets, Queenie.
Well, cheer up, dear. Something terrible is bound to happen. I got faith in human nature.
What about you? Know anything exciting?
Not much. I'm getting married.
Again?
Ah, those others were just the preliminaries.
This is the main event, huh?
How do you like the diamond they gave me? Some rock, huh?
Looks like a stepping stone to success. Congratulations.
Oh, you're welcome. Sam's from Texas, Randy. A regular oil typhoon.
No kidding. A typhoon. You weren't swept off your feet. You were blown off.
He had a ranch down there that was a dust bowl. No water, no nothing. And then one day...
Yeah, well, wait a minute, Queenie. Yeah,
What?
That man who just walked in over there by the bar.
What about him?
He's been hurt. That's blood on his forehead.
Been in a fight. But he's not bringing any trouble in with him.
He looks like he's dazed, like maybe he's out on his feet.
Ah, those punchy fighters. They get knocked out and they ain't got brains enough to lie down.
You know him?
No, never seen him. Hey, wait a minute. He's a cop. A plainclothes dick.
You sure?
I ought to be. He raided my place once. 2-3 years ago. What the dickens does he want? He's got nothing on me.
Easy, easy. I don't think he's here on business. Something's happened to him.
So I'm crying.
I think he's been slugged. Either that or he... Hey, where'd he go?
In again, out again. Who cares?
There was something about him, like he was walking in his sleep.
Oh, sit down, Randy. Now talk to me. I haven't seen you
since... I'm sorry, Queenie. I'll be back later. I went out into the street and looked up and down. The fog swirled about the street lamp on the corner like ghosts on a toot. And like a ghost, my boy had disappeared. He vanished as though he were somebody I'd seen in a dream. Then I heard a car starting up a little way down the block. It was parked at the curb, and I recognized it at once because I'd parked it there myself. It was my car.
Hey, come back here. Hey!
Well, I'll be a... Hey, taxi, cab, right here. Follow that car. Don't lose it. Hurry.
What's up, Mr.?
Car thief, you got my car.
I'm trying to shake it.
It's cutting down that side street.
Not much chance of us attracting any cops around here.
Can't you go any faster?
Take it easy, mister. We're closing in.
We don't lose them first.
Not a chance.
Yeah, we're getting closer. Crowd him to the curb. Oh, murder. He hit a lamp.
That stopped him. Just clip the fender.
Let me out of here before he gets going again. All right. Get out and don't try any...
What?
You. It was the guy with the blood on his face, the one I'd followed out of Queenie's place. The fellow, she said, was a plainclothes cop. He sat there, both hands still on the wheel, turned his head slowly to stare at me. What's the big idea?
She'll die.
I'll go get a cop, mister.
Wait a minute. Who'll die?
Got to get to her before she dies.
Who?
Can't let her die. I'll be a murderer.
Who, man? Who is it?
I can't remember.
You can't remember?
I killed her.
Wait a minute now. Just take it easy.
What's the matter? Is he hurt?
Yeah, but not from this.
I gotta find her. She'll die. She hasn't got a chance.
Who'll die?
My wife. I gotta get to her.
Now, look.
I tell you, she's dying. Gotta get her out of there.
Out of where?
Buddy is a fruitcake. I'll get a cop.
He is a cop.
What?
Look, fella, what happened? Can't you remember? What did you do? What was it? Where did it happen? Think.
I've been trying hours walking the streets. That cab. Gotta use it. Let me use it, please.
Okay, get in.
Maybe we drive around. I'll remember. I got to.
Where to?
Head for the nearest place where there's a phone. They say that a clear conscience and a poor memory usually go together, but in this case, it was the other way around. This poor devil was tortured by a guilt he couldn't remember. The very fact that he couldn't seem to sharpen it and make it worse. He stared at me, his fist clenched, burning in a private hell of blind remorse. Well, if he were a cop, it wouldn't be hard to find out who he was. We pulled up in front of a drugstore, and I asked if he didn't remember being a detective. Now, after all, you wouldn't forget being on the force, would you?
Detective? Yes, that's right, I am. City police.
What detail?
Promoted to burglary 1947.
Let me see your badge.
A badge?
Yeah, inside your coat. What's the number on it?
I haven't any badge.
But you must have an identity card. Let's see your wallet.
Wallet?
Yeah, get it out, huh?
Yes, I have one, yes. Here.
All right, empty it. Your pockets, too. $7. Some change, a book of matches, nothing with any address on it. An IOU for $300, signed Hollis Rogers. That mean anything to you? Nothing, huh? This all? Did you look in all your pockets?
All of them.
No card here, nothing.
A cop would carry an identity card.
I had one. It was a million years ago. Mixed up. Look, I've got to get to her, I tell you.
Well, you can't if you don't know where she is. Stay here. I'll be right back. Stick with him, cabby.
Make it snappy, pal. This hack ain't no padded cell.
I found a phone booth in the drugstore and called police headquarters. I got through to Sergeant Kalski and told him my problem.
Yeah. Blue eyes, sandy hair, about 28, 5'11". Okay. There's actually practically 6 dozen guys around here. I'm surprised at you, Stone, letting a nut sell you a bill of goods like that.
Oh, now, hold your horses, Kalski. You can check and find out what men were put in the plain clothes and assigned to burglary detail back in 1947, can't you?
Waste of my time, Stone. The guy's a psycho just because he...
Now, wait a minute, Kalski. You were in burglary in 47. Yeah. I'm sure if you saw the guy, you'd recognize him. He's got kind of a scar over his left eyebrow. That mean anything to you?
Scar? Describe it.
Well, it's curved, about an inch and a half across. Sort of like a new moon.
Officer, I worked with a scar like that. Name of the baseball. A fellow named Kenny Day.
Kenny Day? He fit the rest of the description?
Yeah, he did.
What do you mean, did? Why past tense?
Because he's past history, Randy. Kenny Day resigned from the force 2 years ago.
Oh.
Studying law on the side, as I recall. One of those ambitious punks.
You got his address?
I can look it up in the file.
Will you? I'd sure appreciate it.
Okay, but... guy you think might be Day, the guy who says his wife's in danger?
Yeah.
Kenny Day wasn't married. He didn't have any wife.
Okay, so he resigned in 1948. In 2 years, a wife could happen to anyone. Kalski gave me Day's address. I called the garage, told him where to pick up my car, and then I went back to the street. The cabbie and the ex-cop were standing beside the cab, the cabbie with his arm around the young fellow's shoulder, his mouth close to his ear.
Doc, if you don't brood over your troubles, maybe they won't hang.
Well, what's keeping him?
Hiya, Kenny.
Did you find out anything?
So your name is Kenny. Kenny Day.
Why, of course. Yes. That's my name. Day. Kenneth Day.
And you live at 1626 West Adams Street.
Yes, 1626 West Adams. There's where I live. My wife's there. I've got to get to her, quick.
This it, you remember?
Yeah. Yeah, this is it. This is where I live.
All right, come on. Let's go up. What floor are you on?
Floor?
Which is your mailbox? I don't see your name.
There's my box.
This? The name on it isn't yours. It's Joe Tanetti.
I don't get it. That is my box.
Well, we'll soon find out. It's the second floor back. Come on. We ran up the dimlit stairway and through a hall filled with the warm, moist smell of cooking. And another odor, sharper, heavier, unpleasant.
Wait.
What is it?
Something's burning.
Sounds like somebody left something on the stove.
No. She's in there. Burning. Anne!
Easy. Someone's coming.
What's the matter with you?
Who are you?
Hi. I'm Mrs. Tumetti. What's the matter? You crazy? You bang on my door?
I live here.
Huh? What you say?
Anne!
I call a cop! Get out of my house! What you want?
Wait a minute.
It's burning.
Easy, Ken.
My ravioli, she burned. So what? You crazy?
Out of my way.
No! No, you don't come in. You drunk. Help!
Kenny, there must be some
mistake. Get out!
She's in there. I've got to get her out. I tell you, I've got to get her out. I've killed my wife.
NBC is bringing you Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone. Here's a note about another NBC Chime favorite returning to the air tonight. He's Chester A. Riley, alias William Bendix. Riley returns to the air to live the life of Riley just 30 minutes after Night Beat. Listen for Mom, Babs, Junior, and Digger Odell, the friendly undertaker. Tonight you'll hear an amusing episode during which Riley becomes embroiled in a radio broadcast from his own home. Stay tuned here after Night Beat for Confidentially Yours, Jack Late, and then hear The Life of Riley on most NBC stations. The chimes are your invitation. And now back to Night Beat and Randy Stone.
If I could believe Kenny Day, somewhere in this city his wife was in mortal danger and he was responsible. Dazed and confused, the ex-cop couldn't remember how it happened. All he knew was, if we didn't find her in time, he'd be a murderer. Through the police department, I finally discovered his address. Only when we got there, someone else was living there. We went down to the basement flat and talked to the superintendent.
Now look, mister, the Tonetti's been living in that second floor apartment when I become superintendent here over a year ago. What are you trying to pull, anyway?
All right, now hold on a minute. Just how long have the Tonetti's been living here, anyway?
About 2 years. What are you doing, taking the census?
Who lived in their apartment before they did?
How do I know I wasn't here? Now, scram.
Nice guy.
Randy, I know my wife's up there.
Oh, wait a minute, Kenny. Now, listen. This is where you lived 2 years ago. That we know. But have you been living there ever since? Do we know that?
Where else?
Well, you tell me. Maybe you moved. Isn't it possible?
I don't know. It didn't occur to me. Maybe I did.
You studied law. You got married. You moved to a better neighborhood, which means you had a fairly good job. Practicing law, maybe. You got your degree, didn't you?
I don't know.
Well, at least you should be listed in the phone book. We stopped at a cigar store on the corner, went in, put our heads together over the phone book. No lawyers under that name, but there were lots of dates.
Kenneth. J. Day.
Here's one for Kenneth M. Kenneth S. Which one is you?
I'm not sure.
All right, call them up, all of them, and find out.
Yeah. Yes, of course.
No dice, huh?
No. Kept expecting to hear Ann's voice, and yet all the time I know I wouldn't. She is back there at the apartment. I know she is.
Why are you so sure?
That smell of burning.
What about it?
I don't know what... I'm going back there.
Now, wait a minute. Let me call my office first.
What for?
The city directory. I'll have them check that. I called the Star, and the librarian found a Kenneth A. Day, all right. But the only address given was the Adams Street one we'd already been to. As a detective, the only thing I was running down was my heels. Then as I left the booth, I remembered that IOU in Kenny Day's wallet and that signature, Hollis Rogers. Called the office again and had it checked. Hollis Rogers wasn't even listed. We went back out to the street and I reached for a cigarette, and then another thought occurred. Hey, you had some matches.
Randy, the time. It may already be too late.
Listen to me.
We've got to get back. She's in that house, I tell
you. Will you listen to me? Well, maybe it doesn't mean anything. Probably doesn't, but that book of matches you had in your wallet, it looked full, new.
Matches?
Let's see it.
Yes, of course, but I...
All right, let's have it.
Here.
Oh, came from the Café Petit. Think you got him there?
I don't know.
It's a little joint on Clark Street. Let's get back in the cab. Maybe you'll remember when you see it.
Where to now, mister?
Café Petit. Well, this place mean anything to you?
No. Nothing.
Looks like you've blacked out on anything since 1948 except one thing. You married a girl named Ann. Come on, maybe the bartender's seen you before.
Hi, Mr. Stone.
Hello, Mike. Hello, I got a problem.
No dough. Oh, that's okay. I'll put you on the cuff for a
minute. No, it's not that. You ever see this gentleman before?
Him? Are you kidding?
Have you?
You mean you have seen me?
Oh, as often as most of my other customers. Hey, what's your gag?
It's no gag, Mike. He just doesn't remember. You know where he lives?
How would I know where he lives?
Oh, what'll I do, Randy? What'll I do?
Hey, what is this? What's the matter? I figured you were celebrating the arrival.
Huh?
Arrival? What arrival?
Oh, I just thought, well, his wife.
What are you talking about? What about his wife?
Oh, now look, maybe it wasn't his wife. I just didn't know. See, when he was in here yesterday having lunch with that lady, I figured she was his wife because, well, I could see she was going to have a baby pretty soon. And Am.
You remember? Where is she, Kenny? Where is she?
That apartment. She must be in that apartment. It was burning.
Think, Kenny, think. That was 2 years ago. You don't live there anymore.
Randy, I tell you, it's happening now. It's happening now. She's helpless, I tell you.
Get a grip on yourself. It's no good going to pieces like that. Now, she was about to have a baby. You remember that, don't you?
Yes, I remember now. And I'm afraid, Randy. I'm afraid.
Come on, easy. Relax. Now you're shaking.
Hey, what is with him?
There's only one clue left. That IOU. Who is Hollis Rogers? Try to think, Ken. Hollis Rogers.
No, I don't remember.
Hollis Rogers. Why would you lend him $300?
I don't know. I don't know. I never heard of him. Randy.
Say, I know a guy named Hollis.
What? Hollis Rogers?
Well, I don't know about the Rogers part. Anyway, the clerk at the Acropolis Hotel calls him Hollis, if that means anything.
Acropolis Hotel. He worked there?
Yeah, Hotstick.
All right, come on, Kenny. We might as well check it. We've got nothing else to go on. The Acropolis Hotel sported a grimy, worn-out elegance and included a big front window looking out on South State. The lobby was practically deserted except for a bulky character in a wrinkled suit fast asleep in the armchair. Hey.
What? Oh. That's quite going out, huh? Okay, I'll register you, John.
No. We didn't come here for rooms.
Huh?
Is there a house detective here named Hollis Rogers?
Yeah, there is. Me. Why?
Of course. Hollis Rogers.
Huh? Well, Kenny! I'd be a monkey's uncle. I didn't even see you. Why, Kenny Day!
I almost didn't recognize you.
You remember him, then?
Well, he ought to. We were in the force together, him and me. Prowl car 962. That was us. Hey, let me look at you. Well, Well, been a long time, huh, kid?
Yes, a long time.
Yeah, I just got back from Colorado last month. Hey, how are things going with you? You was about to leave the force, weren't you, just after I resigned?
Yeah.
Mr. Rogers, you mean you haven't seen Kenny since then?
No. I've been working out in Denver. I just got back.
Oh, Hollis, this is a friend of mine, Randy Stone.
Yeah, pleased to meet you.
How are you?
Hollis, what I came here to talk to you about...
Yeah, I know. That dough I owe you. You know, I'd have paid it back a long time ago. Kid,
No, it isn't that.
Did Kenny ever write you telling you where he was living or the name of the firm that he was with?
Yeah, I know. Why'd you ask him?
Hollis, remember the name of the law firm I went with?
Heck no, I don't remember the name. All I remember is that you wrote me once you hoped someday to get your name tacked onto the end of it. Hey, what's the matter, kid?
Nothing. Thanks. Thanks anyway.
Ah, what you need is a drink.
No.
Help you forget your troubles. I got some right...
Come on, Kenny, let's go. From the color of Hollis Rogers' nose, I imagine the only thing drink made him forget was when to stop. We went out into the street and got into the cab. Our fund of information had increased measurably. I know now that Kenny Day and his wife were seen having lunch at the Café Petit yesterday, which meant whatever happened took place between then and early this evening.
Listen.
What? Oh, you mean the fire engine?
It's coming this way. My house, it's burning. Randy, it's burning.
Hey, now steady.
She's inside. She's in the house. She'll die. Oh, start up for God's sake. Follow that engine.
Wait, Kenny.
Now.
He ain't chasing no fires, not in my
chair. You've got to. I've got to get you.
Now, get a grip on yourself. You don't know where that engine's going. It could be any place.
It's my house, I tell you. Let go of
me. Listen to me now. We'll be flagged down by a motorcycle cop inside of 10 blocks.
You said it.
And anyway, it's gone now. So, that's what happened, huh? A fire.
Yes. I saw the flames. She was inside. Anne was inside. Burning. Burning.
All right, easy now. Couldn't have happened very long ago, maybe inside the past 24 hours. We can find out where it was. Get us over to fire department headquarters quick.
We're practically there.
You mean you don't remember where you live?
I just can't.
But you know your name. What about the phone book?
Oh, we've already gone through all that, Chief. It could be he just moved, or maybe the phone company hasn't installed a phone in his house yet. All he remembers is that it was on fire and that his wife was in danger.
Day.
Yes, Kenneth A. Day. If there was a fire connected with that name, it would have been reported within the past 30 hours at the outside.
I'll check. Be in this box on my desk. Thank you. There'd normally be about 40 fires reported in that time. Day.
That's right.
You own the property, Mr. Day.
I don't know.
Hmm. No. Well, of course, if there were any casualties, the names would be listed. Day. Yeah, here we are. Fire reported at 6:10 p.m.
Where?
2845 Hemlock Drive.
Yes, that's it. My wife.
Oh, sorry, but the full report hasn't been filed yet from the district station. Fire was only reported a few hours ago.
The 2800 block of Hemlock Drive was a neat parade of white stucco bungalows way over on the northwest side. It wasn't hard to find number 2845, because 2845 was merely a gap in the moonlit row of houses, a gap as conspicuous as a missing front tooth, and littered with the charred remains of what had once been Kenny Day's home.
Burned right down to the ground.
There's nothing. There's nobody. Even the street. Nobody on the street. Nobody.
Steady, Kenny, steady. There's a light in the house across the way. Let's try to find out what just did happen, huh?
Anne, she was in there.
Kenny, there's no use standing here.
She phoned me. She wanted to come downtown. She wanted to have one last evening out. Just the two of us. I said she couldn't. I made her stay home. I didn't want her to come downtown. I was afraid maybe hadn't made a stage, she'd be alive now. Yeah, I killed her.
Kenny. Kenny, it wasn't your fault. You were thinking only of her welfare.
Here comes a cop, maybe.
Hey, what are you doing?
It's all right, officer. That used to be this man's house.
Huh? Oh, why, hello, Mr. Day. I didn't recognize you in the dark. Too bad you're losing your house, especially with the baby coming. Or should I be congratulating you now?
What are you trying to say?
Wait a minute. You were here during the fire?
Yes.
What do you mean? Should you be congratulating me? What happened? Tell me.
Why, you... Say, didn't you go to the hospital?
Hospital? What hospital?
Good grief, man. When we couldn't find you, we thought you'd come to and headed for the hospital during the excitement of putting out the fire.
The fire? Yes. I came home, and it was burning. And I tried to get Anna out. They wouldn't let me. They tried to hold me back.
Yes, and he'd have burned to death, too, if one of the firemen hadn't given him a tap and knocked him out. We sent him on the lawn across the street.
What happened? My wife, they got her out?
Why, sure. She headed for the hospital before you even arrived. I hope she made it because she was sure racing the stork.
What hospital?
County.
Thank you. Kenny, come on, wake up. Let's see who won that race. I don't know how many traffic laws our cabbie broke speeding back to the city, but they would probably have added up to a young fortune in fines. Finally, we skidded to a halt at County Hospital, piled out, and invaded the place. The nurse at the desk checked with the maternity ward, and after some endless minutes, she hung up.
Well?
Mrs. Day gave birth to a boy, 8 pounds, both doing fine.
Boy.
Well.
What do you know?
Which one of you is the father?
The father? Oh, him.
Yeah, take a bow, pal.
Can I see it?
I guess you can. Right this way.
He's still in a daze.
And you'll be in a daze, too, when you see what my meter reads.
You're trying to spoil my evening?
Don't let it throw you, Doc. Charge it up to education. Travel broadens a guy, you know.
Traveling with you does more than that. It flattens him.
Take it easy, Pops. And here.
What's this?
I think you deserve the cigar.
Well, another night about to slip into sunrise and another edition about to go to press. Kenny Day's battle with his conscience is won, and the curtain of his subconscious is lifted, as they say in the psychology books. Not that he really had anything to feel guilty about, of course, but conscience works in peculiar ways. To some people, it's as useless as a glass eye at a keyhole. It never keeps them from doing anything. It merely keeps them from enjoying it. Yes. Copy, boy.
Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy, is produced and directed by Warren Lewis. Tonight's story was written by Irvin Ashkenazy with music by Frank Worth. The part of Day was played by Ted DeCorsia. Others in tonight's cast were Loreen Tuttle, Bill Tracy, Wilms Herbert, Jack Crucian, Barbara Dupar, and Eddie Fields. Frank Lovejoy may currently be seen in Milton Sperling's production, Three Secrets, released by Warner Brothers. Listen next week at this time and every week as Randy Stone searches through the city for the strange stories waiting for him in the darkness. Night Beat came to you from Hollywood. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. Mystery fans will enjoy the Sunday lineup of action-packed adventure shows on NBC. Sunday tune for The Falcon, High Adventure, The Big Guy, Charlie Wilde, and $1,000 reward. 5 thrill-filled shows packed with intrigue and mystery. Listen Sunday on NBC.
KMA 907, Sacramento Police. Unit 99, are you in the clear?
Unit 99 to KMA 907. Unit 99, Sergeant Meredith, 909, in service, on the air. This is Sergeant Dan Meredith of Unit 99 at Headquarters, Police Department, City of Sacramento, California. My detail is to ride in Unit 99, our tape recorder-equipped radio car, and to respond whenever the dispatcher transmits a signal to one of our other units on duty somewhere in the city. At the scene, we make the recordings for this program. Now, to tell you more about Unit 99, here is our chief, James V. Hicks, Sacramento Police.
Unit 99 is a regulation radio patrol unit of the Sacramento Police Department, cruising the streets with a tape recorder. Sergeant Meredith is on duty and works for your protection, as every police officer does. He can and does make arrests. His orders are to respond to the radio call. You go with him, and what you hear is real. Police, criminals, victims, and witnesses are all real. And whether an arrest is made or the subject released, what happens is real. Make no mistake about that. Now to Unit 99 and Sergeant Dan Meredith on duty.
Unit 7. Unit 7. Check on an attempted suicide. This was reported by the man's brother. Check 7, command 7.
An attempt suicide. Unit 7's on the call. Better go along and see if we can help out. Unit just pulled into the curb. We're right behind him.
I would really, honest to God, you give me a gun, I'll shoot myself.
No, you don't want to do that.
I think we better.
I think we better go over to the hospital and have the doctor.
That's my own brother.
I know you do.
I love her. I don't know why.
I don't kill myself.
She had been up at home. You had to hear
it. Listen, let's take the guy's advice and you go over to the hospital.
You had to hear it.
Listen, you know where the county hospital is over here.
I bought her home. Did I buy a nice home?
We know all that. Come on now, let's go
over
to the county hospital.
Let's go. Why don't you go to the hospital?
What do you take me to the hospital for?
Because this gas you've inhaled. I want the doctor to check you over, see that it hasn't hurt you.
I didn't kill myself.
You're solving your problems, but you're causing everybody else a terrific amount of problems.
Yeah.
Your wife, your child.
Yeah.
Well, listen, why don't you go on with us over to the hospital? We'll have the doctor look you over.
No.
Have I given you any trouble? Have I asked you to do anything?
You're a nice guy.
Okay, I'm just asking you to go over with me to the hospital and let the doctor check you. I don't want you to be sick about this, see? I don't want you to be sick. And if you've inhaled enough gas, you could be pretty sick, boy.
Come on, let's go.
Now, let's go on over to the hospital. Don't be silly. I'm not going to stand here and let you kill yourself. I'm not going to stand here and let you kill yourself.
Why are you standing in my way?
Why should I stand in your way?
No.
Because you're not thinking right now, and you need somebody to stand in your way.
I just want to kill myself.
Well, now, that doesn't make sense. To you, it makes sense. To me, it doesn't. And right now isn't the time for you to decide what you want to do because you're not normal. You're upset. You're terrifically upset. And now isn't the time for you to do anything but just go to sleep. And when you're tomorrow after this...
I'm going to take you down
and let the doctor talk to you. And then if he advises it, we'll let you sleep right there at the hospital tonight where there's somebody that can watch you.
I got to protect my home.
Nothing's going to happen. He'll lock it up. It'll be all right.
Now, Lopez, what's this all about?
Well, it seems that there's been some in-law trouble over a period of time, and his wife is not at home now, and I assume from what I've heard that she is at her mother's, and seems to be some interference from the mother into their family affairs. He has a stepdaughter who he cares a great deal for, who he's afraid of losing, and he's been drinking tonight and apparently feels very sorry for himself.
Well, what was this attempt suicide caused by?
Well, he turned all the gas jets on in the house and closed and locked all the windows and doors, and then he called his brother on the telephone and advised him of that fact, and his brother came over and broke into the house and found the gas in there.
Was this man lying on the floor, or was he conscious?
When we arrived, he was standing on the front porch with his brother. Apparently, he'd been dragged out by his brother and was standing on the front porch when we arrived.
You're the brother?
I can't don't know what to do. He told me he'd gone and gas himself, and so I didn't know anything else to call you guys.
Is he having trouble with his wife?
Yeah, his wife. She claims has left him, and
he's become despondent.
She's left him a couple, three times, according to, you know.
Yeah. Well, I see that he's partially willing to go now, so let's try and get him down to hospital.
Okay, my driver.
Okay, boy. No, we'll take the square car, but we have the radio to listen to on the way down, huh? Okay. We'll follow you down to the hospital. Lopez, what are you and your partner, Brian, going to do on this now?
Well, the man's been examined, and we put him in Ward 15 of the county hospital, which is for mental patients. And he'll be kept here for the balance of the night for observation. And I think probably the doctor seems to feel that he'll be released in the morning after talking to the doctor in the morning.
The doctor believes that his condition will be entirely different tomorrow.
Well, he feels that it's a temporary thing, and then tomorrow he'll have a different aspect of the thing. Yeah.
The man who attempted suicide was drunk and despondent, but the fact that he telephoned his brother after turning on the gas indicated that his desire to take his own life was not too intense. He was held two nights for observation and then released. I hope you noticed the diplomacy with which the officer handled this man.
Units 242 and 246. 20th and Q, Queens. Investigate a report of a small boy in a bar. Check, K97.
Juvenile Officer Star Jill in York just received a call to 20th and Q regarding a child in a bar. We're just about 2 miles away. Let's see what it's about. This is Officer Star Jill in York just going in. Let's get out.
Now, who could have called?
How old is the child, ma'am?
Six.
6 years old?
Yeah, we went to Legion Hall, and we stopped in here for a beer.
Well, you realize that it's...
Yeah, I know.
5 minutes after one.
Yeah, but goodness sake.
You feel this is a proper environment?
Did somebody call you? No, I know it isn't.
Like
he's
this?
My grandson. And he once in a while, I have him with me, and I stop in here once in a while, and tonight I stop for one beer, and we've just been here. Somebody called you?
Yes,
I can't
ma'am.
Understand
we
it. How can they be people be like that?
Well, certainly he has no business being in a bar
no,
at 1 o'clock
I
in the morning.
No, I understand that. It's not a habit.
Certainly,
well, regardless whether it's a habit or not, it's...
I was just kidding in there now. I was knew the grandma to take him to a bar. But this is like...
Does his mother live in Sacramento?
Mm-hmm.
How is it? You have him on the weekends, do you?
That's right.
Where does his mother live?
Here in town.
Where do you live?
Here, right around the corner.
Well, do you want to take that child home?
Certainly, I do.
Right now?
Certainly.
Fine. Under the circumstances, I think that'd be an advisable thing to do. You can't understand anybody calling.
No, because I'm not drinking, really. You can see.
Well, ma'am, the idea is that this isn't the environment for a child of that age.
Don't you think I understand that?
Apparently you don't.
Apparently you don't.
Do you feel that you do?
Certainly. Look, I know that you don't take children to bars. I understand that.
Well, then why
do you really?
In?
Do you really?
I most certainly do.
Well, then why is the boy in here?
Don't you make an exception?
Not in the case.
I am
like
not
this,
drinking. I mean, I'm not intoxicated.
You
can
have
see
been
that?
Drinking. No, it's obvious.
Yes. I just came from the 21 Legion Hall just
yeah.
now. And we stopped in here to have...
How do you feel about this, son?
Oh,
would you like to go home and go to bed? Do you spend every weekend with your grandmother?
No, he doesn't spend every weekend with me.
How about it? Do you end up in the bar, huh, on the weekends, usually?
You know something? You're putting ideas in the child's head.
Well, I think you're putting ideas in the child's head, ma'am. This is not a laughing matter.
I know it isn't. Don't tell me.
Well, my child, I tell you, I strictly forbid him... For you to have anything to do with him.
You want to investigate my life.
We're not interested in your life. We're interested in the child's
and
life.
And I brought up his father. And I have never had an occasion.
I hope to think that you didn't take your own son into a bar
never.
At 1 o'clock at night.
And I'm telling you, I have never had an occasion. You want to talk to my son? He's 25 years old. He never had an occasion of this sort.
You want to take this
bar.
Lady's name and all? You have a piece of paper and all?
You better.
Are you going to make an issue of this?
Under the circumstances, I don't think we have any other choice.
You're just taking a lighthearted attitude about it. No, I'm not. I'm more serious than you are.
Well, we're advising you. You better start heading towards home and take this little boy and get him off the streets.
You would call. Imagine
at 1 o'clock in the morning. I can't either.
Isn't that something? This is the first time in history that this has happened. I don't understand this. This is the first time. I wonder who called.
Well, somebody called. Evidently thought the child shouldn't be there, too.
Well, look, you see, you walk in a restaurant or a bar for a beer, and we just got here.
Well, the thing is, ma'am, at 1 o'clock in the morning, that boy should be home in bed. It's not only not the place, it's not the time.
I guess you have to do your duty because they called you,
it's
right?
It's not a question of doing your duty, it's a question of the right thing being done.
How old is the boy?
Six.
Did you call?
Yes, I did.
I think that's a terrible thing.
I don't think it is. Because I have an ex-wife that I have a little boy just like
well,
that.
I don't like to see
a little boy like that.
I think you're bitter.
No, I'm not bitter.
I don't think he is.
I don't think I'm bitter at all.
This is my grandson, and once in a blue moon,
right.
he comes to town
that's
and stays
well.
With
well,
me.
Well, then once in a blue moon, if you're taking and treating him like
yeah.
he is now, then he shouldn't be with you at all.
And we go to the Legion Hall we went tonight, and I live around the corner, and we stop by to have a beer.
I know that little boy there has not had the attention of a father.
Yes, he has.
No, he hasn't. He has not treated me like that. He has had an attention of a father that
you
he should have had.
You are sadly mistaken.
No, was this boy with you when
Don't
we first arrived?
Yes, he was.
You were
he was sitting on my lap. Yes,
well,
he was.
Because you talked to him. You brought him
that's
peanuts.
Right.
He came
that's
over and
right. That's right, because
you.
He needed attention.
Isn't
as far
terrible.
As you were concerned, we asked who the child belonged to and what? Why? What are you asking? Why?
Yes,
at 1 o'clock in the morning, you don't even know where the boy was. In fact, when we walked in, you were huddled over
right
a beer.
We should not even be discussing this in front of that little boy right there.
That's right. You're making an issue of it.
I'm not making an issue of it, but I still say we shouldn't discuss it in front of him because he is a minor child and...
You are
bitter. So therefore...
No,
I'm not bitter. No, ma'am.
This child has a beautiful home. Wonderful father and mother.
He doesn't know now. He's a scared rabbit right now.
No, he isn't. Right
yes,
now you have scared him.
Well, I think under the circumstances, we're not going to discuss it any further.
That's
either you
right.
take the child home or you're going
Naturally,
to jail.
I'm
going to
take
you
it
You understand
home.
That, ma'am?
I understand perfectly.
All right. Let's not abuse the child any more than he's already been abused tonight. Take
That's
him home.
That's right. This is the first time
That's
he's
it.
Been
I
don't abused.
Want to That's it.
It would appear that Grandma wasn't the best influence in the world for this child. But she finally accepted the officer's suggestion that she get the youngster out of the place, and I doubt that she'll do it again.
Unit 7. 910. Two peeping toms at... Check 7. Unit 5. Cover in on that 910 5.
That's a report of two prowlers or peeping toms out on 24th Street. It's Unit 7's call that 5 is covering.
Unit 5 to KMA 907.
Go ahead, 5.
On that 910, we have a man in custody at 23rd and U.
Check 5. Unit 7. Unit 5 has someone in custody on your 9 and 10.
Unit 5 is holding somebody at 23rd and U. That's up the next block.
Here's the unit in one of the alleys now. He has one person in custody. Let's get out and see what this is all about.
Camper. This partner that was with him took off running between the houses here.
He wasn't no partner.
You say he was a friend? Where did you meet him?
I met him up on Broadway.
He had a flashlight in his pocket, too, Danny.
Uh-oh. What's your story?
He's carrying a flashlight around.
What is your story tonight?
Well, I just went to the show down here, somewhere down on off K Street. I was walking around. I walked up here to Broadway, and met my friend up there. Walked around down here, and then he says a cop, and he ditched.
Where on Broadway did you meet this boy?
Oh, I don't know. Somewhere up there in Light Streets.
You don't know where it is?
No, I just met him. I didn't look
How
at
old are you?
I was 18.
You 18?
18. Identification.
Let me see it.
Says he lives over on 19th Street.
Well, what are you doing over here?
I'm just walking around.
I guess you were. I don't think it's funny. We've got a report on you.
On me?
That's right.
For what? I always walk around about this time.
You were born in 39?
Yeah.
You know better than us what you were doing.
I was just walking around.
Well, why are you in this neighborhood? Any particular reason?
No particular reason at all.
Well, son, if you were born in 39, you're not...
Well, I just had my birthday last Saturday.
That makes you 17, not 18.
No, I'm 18. Oh, I had this made up when I was 17 years old. I was 18, September 29th.
Well, we don't believe it. We'll go by this card here.
Okay. But I need to...
Where are your parents?
At home.
They approve of you even if you were 18 to be roaming around the streets like you are?
Well, I am 18.
Do you realize what time it is?
It's about 1 o'clock.
It's after 1 o'clock in the morning.
Is it?
Did you go through his pockets?
Just lightly. We didn't check it too well.
You got a couple of wrenches, flashlight.
What's your friend's name?
The officer's asking you a question.
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
Yet he's your friend, huh?
Yeah.
You ever been arrested?
Nope.
I think this boy might have been prowling cars, too. Have you?
Nope.
Who's your hands?
Both of them are together when we turn the corner.
This fellow doesn't seem to know who his boyfriend is or what his name or where he lives. Yet you come around this residential area like you have tonight. Darkened area with a flashlight and wrenches. Does that make sense to you?
No, it made no sense to me. You carry a flashlight around with me.
Why?
I don't know. It's for any reason.
Why do you carry wrenches with you?
And a bicycle.
You don't have a bicycle tonight.
No,
I'm not. How about the, who is the unit on this?
Sam, we got the call, Sergeant, but we got here a little late. Car 5 is the one that picked the boy up.
Well, Lopez, did you check with the house where the complaint came from?
No, we haven't been to the house yet. We were looking around with the area trying to find the other boy.
Well, son, I think it'd be better for you if you cooperate with these officers and tell us who this...
Cooperate with?
What's that?
Ain't nothing to cooperate with. I didn't do anything.
Well, you want to take him over there and...
Well, we'll take him back over to the residence and talk to the property owner and see just what occurred over there.
Okay.
You still don't know what the partner's name was?
He ain't my partner.
Well, son, you're taking a very bad attitude talking like that.
I don't care. You don't got nothing on me. I didn't do a thing.
You haven't anything on you?
So what? Just because I had a flashlight and a couple wrenches don't prove nothing.
Well, if you're 17, you're out after curfew hours. And if you're 18, you could be vagged tonight. Do you know that?
For what?
Vagrancy.
Being on private property after dark.
Let's check this thing out with the property owner.
Just walking around.
We'll do that.
Okay, we'll follow you down.
All right.
There's the lady out in front now.
Can you positively identify him, his face?
Well, I think it certainly looked like him, sir.
What was he doing?
It was just right up against... I had just gotten into bed. And since I am alone, I like to keep my Venetian blinds so far. I look out. I guess it's crazy. And I just felt a noise, and I looked out, and there was this person. It was all looked very light. I couldn't say whether he was all dressed in white, but the top was white, right up against my window. I guess
that window there?
In. Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
And that's all, and I just jumped out of bed and walked into my dining room and called for someone to come out.
How many were there here tonight?
that you saw?
Just the one.
Just one?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. We got information that there were two. Do you know anything about that?
No, because I had been out, and as soon as I got home, I went to bed, and I heard another voice.
Oh, you heard two
As I was calling you, I heard someone say something, but what it was, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. And I thought maybe it was my neighbors telling this person to get away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's check that area over there, see if there are any footprints.
Excuse me.
It was over here, was it?
Yes, it was right here.
Yeah, there's footprints in this wet grass. I saw some right over in this corner here.
Looks like
the grass had been depressed. Well, this narrow flower bed, it wouldn't have been necessary to step in it to get close to the building.
He was underneath that flower?
Yes, right in between the two bushes as far as I could see.
In the middle there.
It was right up against the window.
Mm-hmm.
I was startled.
Yes, let's take another look there.
Since I am alone, I don't want to appear neurotic and call every time I hear a noise.
That's,
It's the first time I've ever called.
You do that.
And I didn't wait to see what he did. I just got out of bed and went into my dining room.
Yeah, Manuel.
I told him that we had seen a heel print similar to his on the dirt here, and he admitted that he said that he'd gotten tired and he walked up and stood up here to rest.
He admits being
on his property, but he still doesn't know who his partner was, who his friend was.
Well, that's what he was doing, prowling the neighborhood.
Apparently so. We're going to bag him. He says he's 18 years of age. We're going to have to, he has no other identification, and so if he wants to be treated as an adult, we'll have to book him as an adult as long as he states his age is 18.
Mm-hmm.
Until some proof arrives that he's under 18, why, he'll be treated as an adult, I suppose.
Yeah.
But we'll put him in as an adult for the time being until they determine for sure what his age really is.
What do you have to say now?
Just what I said.
What did you tell these officers?
Well, I told them I went up there and I sat down. I mean, I didn't sit down. I was over there in the grass and I stood up. And then I walked off and I walked on down that way.
Okay, that's six.
And, those cops came around. My buddy said, there's cop, and he ran away.
Well, what were you doing up by the window? Why couldn't you sit down by the curb here?
I didn't want him.
You wanted to take a look in the house, I suppose.
No, I didn't want to take a look in the house.
Well, what was the reason for going up to the house?
I didn't go up to the house. I just walked up there on the grass.
That's your story.
It's my story.
You're going to stay with it, then.
Stay with it.
This juvenile prowler wasn't 18 years old, as he claimed. He wasn't 17, as it appeared. He was 15 years old and engaged in very dubious activity, either as a peeping Tom or a car clouder. He was held overnight and released to his parents.
This is Unit 99. These on-the-scene tape recordings were provided by the Sacramento Police Department and were made on duty by Sergeant Dan Meredith in Unit 99. Your host is Chief James V. Hicks of the Sacramento Police Department.
KMA 907, Sacramento Police. Unit 99, are you in the clear?
Unit 99 to KMA 907. Unit 99, Sergeant Meredith, 909, in service, on the air.
You have just heard an authentic police action as reported by Sergeant Dan Meredith in Unit 99, in service, on the air. Next week at this same time, another on-the-spot tape-recorded event presented in cooperation with the Sacramento Police Department. Unit 99 has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
That's going to do it for the show this week. I hope you enjoyed it. Remember, you can find the rest of Relic Radio at relicradio.com. And be sure to come back next Wednesday when we'll hear from Dragnet and Jeff Regan, Investigator, on another episode of Case Closed.